Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to your latest installment of the Jerseynet flagship weekly podcast, hosted by myself, Craig Gray. We are the independent Rangers podcast made for fans by fans, and all of our content is absolutely free. You can get us over at jerseynet.co.uk, where you can get access to the forum, some articles, and a wonderful history archive as well. We are live on YouTube tonight, folks, and we'll be on all of your usual podcast providers in the coming hours as well. If you could please also like and subscribe to the channel to share us around. And just before I introduce my guest today, I need to give a shout out to our partners over at Forest Precision Engineering. They're a subcontract Glasgow-based engineering company and have been a big commercial supporter of Rangers for many years. We're absolutely delighted that they're backing your podcast. You can get them over at forestprecisioneng.com. And you can also visit the Forest Precision Executive Lounge, a stunning new hospitality area within the historic main stand. For information how to book this unique and intimate space, you can email the club via hospitality@rangers.co.uk. Playing today on Remembering Sunday, and of course everyone at Jerseynet wants to spread that message of remembrance out to all of those servicemen and women who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms today. And it was, again, a great tribute by the UB, who managed to break the rules and sneak their teeth on. So that was a good start to the game anyway. But joined tonight by Mr. Alan Rogers. Alan, how you doing?
Yeah, not bad, thanks, mate. Better after that result today and the manner of the victory, I would say.
No, definitely. Three league wins in a row. I can't remember the last time I've said that. It's been a while. I feel like it was going to be like that Man U fan that it's not going to cut his hair.
Yeah, I mean, I think it might be the first three in a row we've done this calendar year. Might be. I should have researched. A serious podcaster would have done his research before he came on, but I think it might be the first time this year we've had three league victories in a row. So yeah, speaks volumes, unfortunately.
Well, speaking of volumes, I don't know if you caught Ian Crocker in the commentary earlier saying that if we held on to a win, Danny Rule would have joined Michael Beale, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, and I can't even remember if I think Philippe come on and winning their first three league games as Rangers managers, and you're like that, oh, he's in esteemed company then, isn't he?
Yeah, well, one step at a time, as the manager keeps saying. But no, it was a game we just had to win. You know, Dundee away, they had beaten our rivals a few weeks ago, you know, relatively comfortably, I understand. So they did pose a risk, and it was good to get the 3 points in the bag, relatively sweat-free, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, starting with the team, Alan, looked as if we went sort of a 4-4-2. On paper, I liked the look of the team. It was a lot more attacking. And I think we kind of got that with the performance, certainly in the opening sort of 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. It's the kind of formation and lineup we want to see when we're going away into these grounds. The grounds where we just want a comfortable performance and pick up 3 points without too much hassle. So I liked that. They were going, you know, with two wide attackers. Moore was floating around a lot. And obviously you've got Danilo. I think Danilo's best role is behind another striker. I think that's where his movement's most effective. So that's exactly how I want the team to approach these types of fixtures. Not saying we'll go that way at, you know, Tynecastle or Parkhead or anything like that, but when you're away at Dundee, with all due respect to them, you want to be taking the game to them, and you want enough people on the pitch at the top end that can make a difference. And it paid off today, obviously, as you alluded to. It was a really good start.
It was, obviously, opening scoring early on, Tavernier corner. Nico Raskin gets up, good header. I mean, he's done it time and time again, certainly this calendar year. Alan, obviously against Celtic, against USG, he's had a few flick-ons as well. And I think Stephen Presley said last week in his interview after the Hearts game that he was really disappointed with the set-piece goals that they conceded, because that is what Dundee pride themselves on. Well, seeing Nico Raskin's goal and how many times he's done that before, he must have been absolutely kicking himself.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, just before I get to that, just hot off the press, my mate Stu's just texted me. It was the 16th of February. We won three in a row. That was the week before Queen's Park beat us. So,
yeah. Well, thankfully, we're not playing Queen's Park next week.
Yeah.
Or anybody.
Too much on that, but I'm grateful for the stats update from somebody doing homework for me. Just before we get to that first goal, at the start of the game, Crocker was talking about Tav's current stats in the team, and he was, within our squad, first place for goals, assists chances created. I mean, it is absolutely wild that not only is that our right back, but it's our 34-year-old right back, is still the most productive attacking output in the side. And I know he takes penalties, but not all of his goals have been penalties. And he got another assist today with that corner. Really nice hit. And again, it was a good header from Raskin. He was completely unmarked. You've got to say it wasn't great from the Dundee defence. But I like seeing that. You know, back in the Gerrard day, we always had that Aribo front post flick on, you know, and I like the fact they've thought about it and they've done something. So Raskin moving to the front post, it's obviously a strategy, something we work on, and it's good to see it working yet again at a crucial point, because that I think that set the tone for the game. I don't think Dundee ever really looked like getting back into it at that stage. I think the wind really got taken out of their sails.
Yeah, and to be quite honest, I mean, I know I was saying the start was great, but I don't really remember us being up the park that much before that goal. I'm not saying Dundee were amazing, but I think they had one or two corners and, you know, they were maybe a wee bit up for it. But then as soon as you get that goal after, what, 5 minutes or something like that, you know, it completely deflates the stadium and their fans and their players and whatnot. But, you know, on Tav, I mean, I've absolutely slagged him rotten, but, I mean, he's been our best player this season. Like, you can't deny it. His numbers are pretty wild. I mean, Max Aaron's, for me, just nowhere near the levels of him. And I have been saying that we need to replace Tav, and I still think we do need to try and replace him, but Max Aaron's is not the answer. Interestingly, I do think his legs have kind of went. I think I would rather see him play maybe in a more narrower role against like Celtic or in Europe, but away to Dundee, I've got no issue with him playing just as an all-and-out fullback, because he's still got the athleticism and the fitness and the pace to be more than able to handle games like that.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. You know, and you saw last weekend at Hampden, you know, he was our best player, you know, in a big game and played multiple positions as well. He's still got a lot to offer. I mean, I think it's been about 3 years now where we've all said, oh, well, Tav can't, he shouldn't play 60 games a season, though. And lo and behold, he's still on track to play 60 games a season. I mean, it's wild, but it's a failure in the club's recruitment that we don't have anyone coming in behind him. But, you know, we need to heed to the words of Conor Goldson, say that, you know, we won't know what we've got with Tav till he leaves. We've even seen that to a much lesser extent. You know, guys like Barisic and Jack and Goldson himself, you know, we thought, right, these guys probably need replaced, but look at the replacements. I mean, they're dreadful, and the team suffers as a whole. So, you know, as and when Tav needs replaced, he needs replaced with somebody that can match his output. And with the greatest respect, that's not going to be Max Aaron's or anyone of his ilk.
No, definitely not. Speaking of sort of replacements that have came in, one of our summer loan signings, there's many of them. He managed to grab his first Rangers goal, Mikey Moore. It was a really good move, actually. I don't know, did Danilo get the assist for that? I personally would count it, but are Opta going to count it? Because I think it might have came off the Dundee player a wee bit as well, so it'll be interesting to see what the stats say. I'll get to Danilo for that assist anyway. But a great bit of link-up play. Mikey Moore just gives the keeper the eyes. Slots at home. Perfect finish. I'm happy for Mikey Moore because, you know, up until the last, well, basically since Danny Rose came in, I've been pretty disappointed with him, because from what you heard about him and what the small glimpses that I'd seen, you know, he's, what, 18, 19 at the Spurs Academy. He's a winger. I want a young winger to be full of energy, have big balls and just go for it. No care about anything or anyone else. I'm just going to take the game by the scruff of the neck and do what I want, be creative. And he just wasn't doing that. To be fair to him, though, I think the fact that I'm saying that he's changing under Danny Rule, I think that probably tells you the reason that happened was the previous management team.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is kind of difficult to judge players when they were working under the previous manager and the previous coaching team, which are all kind of a very, very low standard of coach based on their history. You've got to say that. But you're right, you know, Moore came in, he did have a big reputation, and we always have this bee in our bonnet about bringing in, you know, EPL Academy boys, you know, who are the next big thing, but not good enough yet to play for their parent club. We always think, well, does that make them good enough to play for Rangers? We've seen boys on loan from Spurs before and from Arsenal, you know, teams like that haven't really made the grade up here. But in fairness to Moore, I think he's adapting well. He's showing up better again under the new manager, which is no surprise. He looks dynamic. He looks comfortable with the ball, and he just looks like he wants to carry the ball. I think he can be a wee bit guilty at times of carrying it to nowhere. You know, he can skip past opponents, skip past another, but he's going back the way, and he just rolls it back to the centre half. You know, he does need to work on his output, I think, a wee bit, but that's probably true of every 18-year-old on the planet. You know, it was a really nice take from him today, and what I liked was the movement, because although I think he did get the break of the ball off the defender, you know, he's put it into Danilo, and he's making that run, and he's making Danilo's mind up for him, saying, you know, this is where I want the ball to be. You know, he's anticipating it, and he does get the break. I think it was a bit fortunate, but the finish was great, as you say. Lifted his head, he knew exactly where he wanted to put it. And it's on his right foot as well, and he's got the technique just to sort of curl it nicely inside the near post. Whereas other players might have been more tempted to carry it forward and try and get a bit of a wider angle to try and put it across the keeper, maybe on the left. But he was really confident, and I was pleased for him. And I think you could tell it meant something to him, because we keep saying Rangers is not an easy place to play, certainly not for an 18-year-old, and he'll felt the pressure at times. So it must have felt like a bit of a weight off his shoulders to finally get that goal, and he deserved it because he's been improving week on week, and let's hope it continues.
Absolutely. Well, we thought he scored a second not long after. Corner comes in, ball goes around like a pinball, it eventually drops to Moore. Another great finish, I've got to say, because he's not got a lot to aim for in the net, but he does manage to find it. You then see the replay of it and go, oh, I think he might be offside there. But then you kind of see a trailing foot at the back of the Dundee defender. So you go, oh, I don't know. They'll probably need to draw the lines for this one. Let's see what happens. Then it turns out Mikey Moore is onside, but it's Diamande that's offside because he's apparently interfering with play. What's your take on that one? Do you think that was the right decision by, well, the referee? Because I suppose that they called him at the monitor to make it.
Yeah, I thought I was the only person on the planet that thought he was onside. You know, from the first replay, I thought he was on. I thought the defender's got a sort of trailing leg that looked like he was keeping him on. But I mean, it's difficult to tell from these angles, and even harder to tell with the sort of, you know, rudimentary Atari ST software that the SPFL seemed to use to draw the lines. But nevertheless, so I was pleased to see he was on, but it's a difficult one. I think you can see it from both sides, because obviously Diamandis in a well offside position. But he actually does quite well, I think, to react and let the ball go through his legs. And the argument is then, well, is the keeper hindered in some way? But obviously, the keeper gets down right to the ball, makes a really good save low to his right. So it's a kind of difficult argument to say that the keeper was hindered in any way, or his view was obstructed, because he clearly saw the shot, he saw the path of the ball, and he was able to react to it. So where's the argument to say that the keeper was impeded? You know, I'm just really not sure. And even the process of VAR, it's, you know, they sent it to a subjective on-field review. And then you're thinking, well, okay, well, what's the subjectivity? Is it the referee then having to decide whether Diamandé is interfering with the keeper in some way? Is that where the subjective interpretation needs to come in? I just don't know. You know, we need clarity on these types of situations, because I can see that go both ways. We've seen it go that way against us, where someone's in an offside position, but they get let away with it because they're not directly involved in play. We just need clarity with these types of things. You know, back in the day, I'm old enough to remember, back in the day, if you're in an offside position, the flag goes up, you're off. You know, and when you start introducing phases of play and things like that, that's where the complexities arise. But as always, you know, if they're looking at, if you've got multiple officials in the VAR room and the guy on the pitch looking at the replay, looking at angles, drawing lines, having to go to the monitor, and it's taking 5 minutes, it's not a clear-cut decision. You know, if
No.
it's a clear-cut decision, you can make it within 10
Yeah.
seconds. If they're having to deliberate for that length of time, they don't know, and it's just going to fall one way or the other. And that's the real frustrating thing about it, because we've seen that recently in a few times. It was the Raskin goal at Ibrox, forget who the opposition was. And it was such a tight offside, it genuinely took 5 minutes to look at it. And of course, you look and say, look, see if it's that tight, you can't call it. There's certainly no advantage from the attacker if it's that tight that you can barely see it. So just give them the benefit of the doubt, say he's on. Because that's what the rule's for. It's to stop people getting an advantage. And if it's a toenail that's offside, it's not an advantage. You know, and it's against the spirit of the game and against the law of the game, in my view. So yeah, it's frustrating, but I think after all that, mumbo jumbo. I think we can arrive at the fact it was a goal that should have stood and Rangers were shafted yet again.
Yes, absolutely. To be honest, but mate, I just don't see how he is interfering with play. More so when you look at, and people say, oh, we can't just look at stills. Well, that is what the referee was given. He was given a still image, and then the further sort of 2 or 3 seconds after that, the keeper is here. Diamande is here. They're in two completely separate positions now. If Diamande is here, right behind or right in front of the keeper, and it's quite obvious that the keeper can't see him, fair enough. But he's the complete other side of him. So you see, Diamande opens his legs, the shot's made, the keeper saves it. It's not as if it's went in as well. The keeper saved it. It's a good save. And you
I
know,
suppose the counter
the
argument.
shot's hard, and it's not as if it's one that he's going to be able to catch, whether Diamande's there or not anyway. I think the best way to sort of look at it is if Diamande is there or if he's not there, would the same outcome would have happened? I think yes. I think the exact same action happens. The shot's taken, the keeper parries it to the exact same position, and we score. What I think is going to be really interesting is Man City Liverpool game earlier, pretty much the exact same sort of scenario with Van Dijk's equaliser that got called off as well. I'll be really interested to see what happens in the next sort of few days between the response of the English Premier League and the SPFL up here in terms of, is that the right decision? Is it not the right decision? What I kind of think is going to happen is we're going to wait until the English League makes their decision on it, and we're just going to copy that, especially if they turn around and back their referees, which, I mean, they do for the most of the time in England. But I mean, up here in Scotland, it's gotten to a point now where it's not fit for purpose, VAR. I mean, I'm starting to, I mean, I don't want it in football anymore as a whole, right? But let's just stick to Scotland right now. You know, the only argument you can make for some sort of technology here is goal line technology or offside, where something decide it's a yes or a no, right? The problem is the technology that we're using for the offsides, as we've seen with seen it last night in the St Mirren Hibs game, I think it was. It's not fit for purpose. It doesn't give you a clear yes or no answer. So just ditch it. Why are clubs paying all this money to effectively still have bad decisions being made more often than not? Now look, VAR was never going to fix everything. It was never going to make 100% of the decisions right 100% of the time. But you're expecting at least, you know, 97, 98, 99% accuracy. I mean, we are a league with 12 teams, right? There is 6 games every week in Scotland in the top flight using VAR, and it's at least one decision a week. It seems we are talking about in this league that is being debated on and fingered over. That doesn't happen down south. Now, there is decisions that people argue about now and again, but I think more, you know, you're not getting one or two decisions every week down there. It's maybe one every month or one every 6 weeks, like that one today. It's a rare occurrence where people are going like, wow, I really don't, you know, I really think that goal should have stood and it was the wrong decision. Up here, I mean, Willie Collum's done about 7 or 8 shows in a row where, oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Well, it's not good enough, and it's not fit for purpose up here, mate.
I mean, yeah, you're right. It needs to be operated more effectively. And if Willie Collum's going to come out pretty much every month and have to apologise to Rangers, okay, but we need to be actually seeing improvement. You know, we need to see that they are learning from these mistakes rather than just paying lip service to it. Because obviously we had last weekend and another gaffe. And then we've had this one again. Again, it wasn't crucial in the match, so probably glossed over. But you think back to the Shanklin goal at Ibrox. That could be an absolutely massive goal. You know, in the handball when he ran through and he didn't really celebrate because he knew he'd handled it. And then again, that comes down to intel. It's just, yeah, there needs
Well,
to be
and
consistency of approach.
the Celtic penalty at Rugby Park in the last minute again that weekend, I mean, that's a 6-pointer,
Well,
you
there you
know.
go.
So
These things matter, and that's why they have to get better. And are we now seeing more controversy these days that we have VAR than we used to in the old days? I think we
I
probably
think we are.
are. So yeah, in that sense, it's just added to the drama. But yeah, one of these days we'll get a VAR decision that goes for us. One day.
Hopefully.
Yeah, we'll wait and see.
Hopefully soon. No, no luck. It'll be in Europe where we're already basically knocked out anyway, and it doesn't matter. But it's just not fit for purpose. I mean, I did want to talk about our response to sort of the refereeing last week, because we've not really had a chance to speak about it on the pod. I mean, for me, it was just an all guff statement of nothingness from the club. I mean, you could have copied and pasted the statement for the cup final last season. I'm pretty sure that's what he done. I'm pretty sure Patrick Stewart just put into Grok, please rewrite this statement so that it doesn't look as if I've written the exact same thing again. And then Musk gave him a response like that. Just a nonsense. Do you know what? I'm in a way, I'm kind of glad that this has happened in this game today as well, because as much as it's definitely more subjective, and I can see the other side of the argument, but I'm still fairly convinced that's a goal today. This is when the club needs to come out swinging more than ever in games that we have won and decisions have went against us, because as much as it did go against us last week, and as much as it did go against us in the cup final, you're always going to get the accusations that, oh, it's just sour grapes because you've lost the game. Whereas if we're going to do it, this is the time to be on the front foot, because we've won the game and you can't get hit back with those accusations.
And that's it. The club's response to this is just continually weak. And you're right about those statements. I mean, I think it genuinely was a copy paste. You know, I think the final paragraph in each of those statements was, you know, we will continue to hold the referees to account. It's kind of, what does that mean? You know, I mean,
I
it's just a
know.
statement. What do you mean? What's the actual action point you're following through on that? It's just meaningless unless you actually follow it up in some fashion. Now, like, you know, we need to be careful with it because other clubs, you know, have. You know, called out referees by name. They have sections at their AGM where they sit and talk about refs and things like that. You know, it's they don't do that for fun. They do it for a reason. They do it because it has an impact. Even if it's only 1% impact, it's still an impact you'd rather have than not. When Rangers go the complete opposite way, you know, to say they're constantly trying to excuse refs. And now, look, I'm not saying refs go out to try and influence results. I don't think they do. But they're also human beings. They're not robots. They're going to have, you know, their own foibles, their own inconsistencies, their own subjectivities, all this kind of stuff. And these things have an impact. So it's a really, really difficult job to be a referee in Scotland with everything that comes with it. And I don't understand why we continually make it harder for them by not implementing, you know, more stricter protocols, better training, full time. You know, it must be difficult to do. A 9 to 5 Monday to Friday, and then you know, drive it to a game on Saturday, and then after ref, and then there's fallout after that you deal with on Sunday, and then you're back to work on Monday. Must be draining for referees. And if we want to improve the standard of refereeing, which we do, we should have full-time officials, and we should pay them properly and make it a vocation and make it attractive for people to come in. Because the suggestion has always been with referees that they're scared that they quit because there's not many coming through. They need them, they need the ones they've got. And therefore, Willie Collum and the sort of high hegians are reluctant to be too critical of them in case they annoy them and in case they put people off. So there's got to be a proper balance struck with this kind of stuff because these kind of decisions are just happening too often. And as you say, it impacted the game last night as well. We've seen Livingston get really done over by a poor VAR decision earlier in the season as well. Last weekend, too, the St Mirren Hearts game, same
Oh,
stuff. You know, it's just not good enough. If we need to improve the game top to bottom, and that includes refereeing, the standard of refereeing, and the use of technology in the referees room.
yeah. Do you know what I think our problem is, Alan? Rangers as a club and Rangers supporters in general, I think we're too sane-minded, we're too normal, and we're too rational with these situations. Because I was speaking about this to one of my pals in the pub before the game on Thursday. And we're talking about the decisions from Sunday, and we all agreed that Asgard's was a sending off, right? The issue is, see if that Celtic fans, right, and everything's happened in the reverse order, there is no way that they're turning around saying that that was a sending off if that's one of their players. They're saying, oh, the referees, is this that? The next thing, every decision goes against us. But it seems that whenever we're talking about these ones, we are intelligent enough to actually say, well, oh no, I can understand, like you earlier, I can understand both sides of the argument. I can understand why this one was given. I can understand why that one was given. But as I say, it's just like, it's not working. And at some point, we're going to need to do something more than just say, "Oh, I understand your point of view," but you know, and I mean, it was a wee thing I mentioned in the chat earlier, and maybe it was just a wee bit of, you know, vitriol. But I mean, look at the funding that we're giving to the SFA every year. I mean, it must be, you know, six going into possibly seven figures, not just in terms of, you know, you've got grassroots, you're paying for referees, children, this, that, and the next thing. I mean, I'd be looking at all the money that we're paying out to the SFA, the SPFL, and see what cost do we contractually need to meet legally as a member club, as part of this association. What other costs are voluntary, and just cut out the voluntary ones straight away, and then hire the best sports lawyers that you can find to find loopholes in the ones that we need to pay. Because I mean, something needs to happen. Or someone mentioned just cutting the VAR funding. I mean, again, I don't know if that's a possibility. I'm not an expert in contract law, but I mean, you know, this is what I mean. Like, are these steps of action that we could look to take, or am I
Yeah, I
just
mean,
getting a bit too
again,
far?
it's one of these things. You know, I think VAR is here to stay. I don't think they're going to get rid of it at all. Presumably, we need to go to a vote and all this stuff. I might be making this up, but memory serves me that if we want Scottish referees to be refereeing at certain UEFA levels, there needs to be VAR. You know, and they need to know how to use it. And also, maybe there's more kind of political aspect to it as well. I just think in terms of that, you know, in terms of Hampden last week, again, it's as clear as red card as we've got. They've admitted that we're going to get an apology from Colin yet again. Okay, fine. The Asgard red, okay, fine, you can see that. The difficulty is the club response to it is just continually weak. You look at our rivals, by the Sunday dinner time, that they'd set the narrative about Cornelius's challenge. You know, they knew that we'd been shafted by that red card decision, and straight away they get a story out. Ah, what about Cornelius? So that should have been a straight red, shouldn't it? You know, they set the agenda, they set the narrative. Unfortunately, they're very, very good at that, and they're on the ball with it. And it's exactly what Rangers should be doing in setting those narratives. But because Rangers' response is so slow and so weak, it just has no impact. And that's the problem. You know, we just cannot play politics properly the way we used to. And we're not as good as them at it. Nowhere, we're not even on the same stratosphere as they are when it comes to setting those kind of narratives post-match. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that Rangers need to do to improve. There's a lot of things the refereeing side needs to do to improve. And it's going to take time, it's going to take investment, it's going to take proper training. But for Rangers' point of view, the fans don't want to see the club just roll over and get their belly tickled with a statement that we then file and don't do anything to follow it up. Because we need to be the ones driving improvements in refereeing standards, because that benefits everyone. It'll benefit the whole game. And given some of the decisions that have gone against us in the last 18 months or so, it will actually directly benefit us if we can start trying to stamp out these inconsistencies and these egregious errors.
No, definitely. I mean, on statements, I think it took Patrick Stewart 45 minutes to release a statement condemning supporters for a tifo a few months ago, and it took him 45 hours probably to release a statement about that refereeing decision last Monday. So they can set the narrative about things when they want to.
That's true,
So
but I think it's again. If that, I think that came from a position of ignorance, and that Mr. Stewart couldn't recognise Graeme Souness when he saw him in a kind of 50-foot banner, which is a bit of a concern at Ibrox, you know. But yeah, let's not get too bogged down in that nonsense. I suspect Mr. Stewart doesn't like to be reminded of that, and I do suspect if he had a DeLorean and he could travel back in time, he would undo that. But yes, nevertheless. That was some haircut that Graeme Souness had back in the day.
Oh, definitely. Sometimes, you know. Back to the game. And lastly, we'll finish up on the manager. Second half, I mentioned to Frankie and yourself before we came on, I was like, I fell asleep during the second half. I don't think anything happened. I mean, Dundee, I know they brought on Simon Murray and Danda, had a couple of sort of half chances for outside the box. I remember one where the Dundee player hit the shot. I mean, it was the easiest save of Butland's life, but he was out shouting at the defenders for basically not getting to it. You know, fast enough, which I thought was a fair point. You know, we made a few subs. The subs, you know, didn't they do anything really. Gassama, who ironically was supposed to be subbed for Lyle Cameron, who was getting a great reception back in his hometown. He just does what And this is a frustrating thing about him because, I mean, he's no showed up the last sort of three, four, five games. And of course, he scores a worldie of a goal in the last minute to make it 3-0 in a game that's basically won already. It's a belter of a goal, but it's turning into a Gassama special because that is what he can do. We've seen it at his flourish at the start of the season, and you just need to hope now that goal will give him the confidence to spur on under a manager that, I mean, he said is like a father figure to him.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. Running down, cutting, shoot. That's what Gassama likes to do. That's his move. And he's been doing it successfully. But he doesn't want to become a one-trick pony, which he's a wee bit like that at the moment. Again, he can carry the ball well at times, but a lot of the time his final ball isn't good. His crossing's not great. You know, he needs to lift his head more. He's got that annoying habit a lot of young wingers do, that they'll beat two men and try and beat a third and lose it. So he's got a lot of developing to do, but he is young. You know, we're here to develop players. So no issue with that. But yeah, he needs to start showing up more consistently in games, because he had that electric start, but he just wasn't able to maintain the form. And we rely on him. You know, he is the one winger we've got that's starting the vast majority of games. So we need him to hit the ground running, and we need him to have an impact in the bigger games. The cut inside and the shoot is great, but defenders will eventually know that's his move, and will eventually start showing him down the line and all this kind of stuff. So he needs to be constantly at it and try and develop his own game. There's potential there, but he does need to be more consistent. I mean, inconsistent wingers is not a headline. You know, they all are to some extent, but he just needs to really work on his final ball and his overall output, I feel.
Yeah, I think that was his first league goal as well. Just off the top of my head, anyway.
I think
And I
you're
was
right.
actually thinking about. I think it is. I mean, feel free to correct me in the comments. But I was actually thinking about this in the first half, where I was going, have we just signed another guy for Europe? Because most of his best performances have been in Europe, and I'm thinking maybe he's just no cut out for this league. So I'm glad he got that goal in the end. To show that he can score in this league and he can provide something. But I think he's a cracking player, and wingers just love to frustrate, don't they? But to see him, Moore, Ant-Man, again another one who I think Ant-Man needs to be playing in a sort of free flowing system for him to be at his best. I don't really see him being one of these guys that can just show up and take the game by the scruff of the neck and do something out of nothing. I think he's the type of guy that relies on everything else around him working. And because at the moment the manager's not really had the chance to implement a style of play, it's just been about going in, trying to change a couple of things tactically and get the result. That's not really happened. But hopefully we can see it in the future. But I mean, just on the manager, Alan, I wanted to finish up on him. That's what, six games we're in now to the rule era. Just the floor is yours. What's your thoughts on him? I don't actually know if you've been on since he was appointed. So I mean, your thoughts just on him being appointed and how he
Well, I mean,
started and his celebration today as well.
I'll start at the end, logically. Celebration, not massively keen on that, I must say. Not from a win at Dens Park. Go up, applaud the fans, absolutely fine. Get up the turn on goal. It's the Ronnie Roar, you know, Ronnie Dyla used to do it and all this stuff, and it was cringy back then. Wee bit cringy now. Maybe just get older and just say, nah, don't do that. Wait till you've got a trophy in your hands before that, mate. But listen, he's coming from the right place. He's trying to forge a connection with the fans. The fans were singing his name. He's obviously trying to give them a positive response back. Fine. It does happen. In terms of role, I mean, I'm pleased with the work he's done. You know, when you think back to before he came in and how desperate a place we were in under Russell Martin, with one league win, you know, it was a last minute winner from a set piece. Roles come in and he's won three league games in a row, which is exactly what he needed to do to get the buy-in from the fans, because all the fans recognise that this is a really low quality Rangers squad. There's some good players scattered around. There's a hell of a lot of players that aren't up to it, and it's a really tough ask to ask him to come in and forge something out of that squad. He has now managed to do it, and that's kudos to him and his team, because I think we are getting better week on week. I thought that was a controlled performance today. Again, we never really broke sweat. We were never really under huge pressure. And we just haven't seen enough games like that recently. Just turn up, bag the points down the road, easy stuff. So you like to think that's his influence there. You like to think the players are responding to him, and he's able to draw more out of them. Because whilst it's not a good squad, it's not an eighth place in the SPFL league squad. You know, it's better than that. And are we third or fourth now? I think I can't quite remember.
Both, but I think they're joint points we have, but we've got a game in hand.
Yeah, we've got a game in hand because of the cup. So you know, the table's starting to normalise a little bit, and then we need to see. And of course, next two fixtures: Falkirk at home, Livingston at home. The greatest respect to those two clubs. We need to be making that 5 wins out of 5.
Aye.
It's as simple as that. And I think we've got a very good chance of doing that. And then once we get that out the way, then obviously you can start getting sort of tastier fixtures coming in terms of the league. December's a tough month, and we need to see how it goes. So I think his start's been really impressive. Conducts himself well. He's connected with the fans. Depressors are heck of a lot better than the previous managers were. He seems to respect the club a lot more than the previous manager did. And he's delivering domestically on the pitch. With Europe, I'll give him a pass. This is not a European level Rangers squad. It's just not. And whilst the performances we do want to be better, he's not a miracle worker. And he just can't work with players that have struggled in Europe, and too many players have never played in Europe until this season. And it really badly shows. So yeah, it's a solid pass for Danny Rose so far. And we need to wait and see what he can do between now and January, because we have to hope against hope that he can tidy up this squad in January. You know, guys like, I don't think Bajrami's played a minute under Rowe. Doesn't look like he fancies Cameron. Clearly doesn't fancy Fernandez. Rothwell wasn't even on the bench today. You know, I think there's work that can be done in January to try and move some players on. And we need to sort the striking department out as well. And we've got to be fair to the manager and give him some money to spend in January. The chairman alluded to it when he spoke in the press the other week, that there would be money to spend in January. So if we can get there to a point whereby it's still competitive at the top of the league, then let's hope we can invest and he can bring in some of his own players and fix some of the glaring holes in this squad. Because the manager's he's got something. You know, he's coming, his coaching background is impeccable. His top end coaching experience he's got, and he's now out on his own. So he's got the tools, or he's got the experience, and we need to now give him the tools in the form of better players, allow him to deliver as best he possibly can. But yeah, fair play to Danny Rule. He started well, and let's see what he can do.
Yeah, I mean, I've been fairly honest since the start that I was not keen on him getting appointed, but then again, that was probably 95% of Rangers supporters. But slowly but surely, he's starting to prove me wrong, and I hope he continues to do that. It's funny you mentioned the press conferences, Alan, right? I've not really been watching them or been taking too much interest in them, but that's a compliment because, see, as a fan, honestly, the press conferences, it's kind of like I don't want them being turned into a circus because, see, when they beat, they're turned into a circus like they were under guys like Russell Martin, and you're getting all the quote this and that and next thing, it means the team's doing really badly. I think he's very clever. One thing that Kavanagh said when he was being interviewed, that I thought was really interesting was that he's got an edge to him. Like, I mean, you look at Danny Rule and he does seem like the type of guy like you could go to the pub with, have a few beers with, you could get on really well with him. You've seen it today at the end of the game, him going up to every single one of the players, and they all seem to really like him and get on with him. But he's also got that edge about him as well, where he's no stupid. Like, you can tell in the answers that he's given. He's not like, because and it's the usual as well, especially when there's a foreign manager that comes up here for Rangers or Celtic, the press try and catch you all the time. We've seen it a lot. We come on, which I thought some of the questions or some of the way that come on was stitched up was a wee bit unfair because, you know, there's a way of saying things in other languages that you don't say in English, and it can be interpreted in different ways. So when he was meaning to come across and say one thing, other people were using what he said literally and trying to frame it into their own argument. But I think Danny Rule's been very clever in how he deals with the media. He's very calm, he's very grounded, he's dogged, kind of like the managers that I've always liked in the past at Rangers, guys like obviously what, but even guys like Alec McLeish, where it was just that sort of grittiness, sort of get the job done, get by. and win, and that's all that matters. And to be honest, I Europe, whatever Europe for me has always been a bonus. It's domestically where it counts, and obviously last week's game is going to, be an annoyance and whatnot. But I still think if that's 11 versus 11, or if it's 10 versus 10, I think if we are level on players going into extra time, I think we would have won that game.
Yeah, I
I
mean,
think I think it was more likely than not that we would have. Certainly when they've been 3-1, they get the game when they've been dead, and well, with 4 minutes into extra time, McGregor scores that goal, the game's done, because we're dead on our feet. They've got a man advantage. It certainly would have kept going on for a lot longer. And to be fair, in the three games that were played, we had the slight scare against Kelly. We've not really looked like conceding. Even the Hibs game, I mean, they had that penalty, but before that, they didn't. The Hibs created nothing. And again today, Dundee created nothing either. So defensively, in the domestic games, we seem to be shaping up a wee bit better as well. See, we've got two, they're always must-win games here, but you needs must-win games. These next two coming up, because if you don't win the two games, then you can forget even about having a chance at going for, first place here. But, we'll see. It's been a good start. I think solid pass without trying to get carried away with certain things, but I have been impressed with him.
yeah, I mean, I think, again, just to speak to his experience, he was a coach at Bayern Munich. The Bayern are one of the few clubs in the world that can match Rangers for pressure. The scrutiny they're under. And okay, he wasn't a manager or a player, he was a coach, but he's still coaching, a Champions League winning team as they were when he was there. It's proper top level. I don't think he'll be fazed by the Scottish press pack trying to trip him up. I remember years ago, Pedro, what was it? The caravan keeps rolling, but the dogs keep barking. And everyone kind of made him out like some mad foreigner talking rubbish, but that's just it's an idiom, that we're not familiar with in this country. It's like you or I going to Portugal to manage and saying something's, a different kettle of fish, and then the journalists jump. What does that mean? What's he talking about fish? Is he mad? It's just that kind of xenophobic approach. I always remember speaking at kind of stoicism of managers. It was Advocaat when he was here, and he was asked. Rosenthal, Sebastian Rosenthal just come back into the team, and one of the journalists said, "Are you happy with Sebastian Rosenthal's contribution?" And the Advocaat said, "I'm happy with his contribution, but not with his haircut." And then all the press laughed, but Advocaat was just stony faced, going, "Sort of, what's funny?" He was being completely serious, saying, "Cut that hair, shave them sideburns." But I like that with a manager that can just command the room and doesn't suffer fools gladly. And you don't necessarily need to do it like Advocaat or Walter Smith with a glare and that kind of stern approach. You could be more like Rule that just kind of sidesteps the nonsense questions he gets. Because again, he's operated at the very top level of football. And you've got to think that nothing's going to faze him. Nothing that they can pitch to him is going to faze him. And that puts him in good stead for the Rangers job. But of course, it's always the same. Results will dictate how it goes, and nothing other than results. So nice wee 2 week international break, and then let's see where we are when we come back.
And I mean, last time we were heading into an international break, we just dropped points with Falkirk, and I think it was probably about this time of the evening we just sacked our last manager. So we're definitely on the right track, but let's hope it continues. Thanks to all the guests at home tonight for joining us. As I say, we're live on YouTube, and we'll be on all of your usual podcast providers in the coming hours as well. As Alan said, 2 week international break. Don't need to put up with your nonsense for a wee while, but we will be back 2 weeks, 2 days ago. You know what I mean? The Friday before the Livingston game, we'll be back. I'm not sure who's on either. Very professional of us, but we'll be back to preview the Livy game, and hopefully look forward to another big block of fixtures. Alan, thanks very much for joining me, mate. Been a pleasure as always.
Yep, cheers, mate. Enjoy the short break.
Yep, and thanks to the viewers at home. See you soon, guys. Bye bye.